2 Corinthians 4, 5 to 10. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants in Jesus' sake. For God said, let the light shine out in darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge in the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweigh them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Before Janet comes, I'd like to have a prayer for her. I already read the scriptures, and so let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, on this warm summer day, we come to you with our fears, our love, our hesitations, and sometimes our aggressiveness. We pray that you will guide each one of us. Give us a peace of mind right now that we can listen carefully to the sermon, to listen to what Janet has to reveal to us about this scripture. Bless her as she presents to us. We give this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessings, Janet.
Good morning, everyone. It's really nice to be here and to see everyone that's here on this very hot day. Wow. These last couple months, here, I'll put that in there. These last couple months have seemed maybe somewhat strange and difficult for us. Probably many of us, we've had numerous things, and yet here we are on a very hot day, Whitmer Heights outside church. That's wonderful. Hopefully we can survive till we can get in our air-conditioned cars again. Oh dear, I realized one thing I forgot to bring along. I have some clay pots up here also, and Velma said that that clay pot with flowers in it is a hand-turned clay pot that her sister made. And thank you, Sophia, for your lovely already getting into the sermon, and Velma also. Wes and I usually do a brisk walk most mornings, and then I often go a little bit longer. So I carry a wad of index cards, and I was going to bring it along, with favorite Bible texts, and I try to memorize when I'm walking alone. I say try because I should have started memorizing seriously a long time ago. It's much harder the older we are. So all of you young people out there, memorize now. A number of those verses are pretty much in my heart and my head. And part of this morning's text is one that I'm working on currently. The memorization is still a work in progress, so I won't try to give it to you from memory. But these are the verses, 2 Corinthians 4, 5 to 7. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. I've loved this text for a long time, and trying to memorize it makes one reflect and think a lot more. Probably we are more familiar with the last verse that I just read. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, we often say. The NRSV says clay jars. So I brought a few clay jars. They don't look exactly like the clay jars that Paul would have had in mind as he wrote this, but they're kind of some of the clay pots or the clay jars that we know today. They're pretty ordinary, these ones that I brought. Not that one. That one is not ordinary. But these are kind of ordinary jardiniers and pots made of clay. We might think that some of them might have a little value today just because they're old, but really clay jars and pots are worth very little, and they were back in Paul's time also. They were fragile. They broke easily. You wouldn't want to carry one and fall with it. It would break and be destroyed, and maybe the contents would be also, because these cheap breakable clay pots were used for storing things of value like money or jewelry or airline tickets. Well, just kidding. They were like the most secure drawer or safe that you might have in your house. Perhaps the most amazing use of clay pots in those early times that we know of today were those clay pots discovered in the late 40s and early 50s in caves on the edge of the Dead Sea. And they were filled with scrolls written sometime between maybe 100 or 100 plus years before Christ and 100 years after Christ. Wow. Almost all of the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament that we know, almost all of it is represented in fragments, some of them, and some of them much more complete in these texts. Those scrolls, which are among the greatest archaeological discoveries and treasures in our world, survived almost 2,000 years, now more than 2,000 years, in very ordinary clay pots. Easily smashed, broken, destroyed clay pots. Treasure in clay pot. I put a tiny treasure, such as it is, inside that clay pot. Flowers are always treasures in my mind. In this text, Paul says, we people are the clay pots, not the treasure, not the flowers in this case, not the jewelry, not the ring that she put in that plastic bottle, which I hope she got out. Yes. We are the clay pots. We're the worthless clay pots. How does this make you feel? We're fragile and mortal bodies, not worth a whole lot in and of themselves, easily trashed and burned. These bodies can crash and burn and be gone in a moment. But what of the treasure that these bodies hold? For one thing, life itself. Life is fragile. handle with care. If the bodies crash and burn, the life is also gone, as we've seen too frequently over these last months. Most of us, for example, in spite of everything, we don't worry about someone putting us in a chokehold and pinning us to the ground for 8 minutes and 46 seconds with a knee on our neck. But I don't think that Paul is just referring to the life as being the treasure. There's more. So I'd like to go backwards to the text of verses 5 to 6. Paul writes to those Christians in Corinth, "We don't come to you to flaunt ourselves, but we're here to announce Jesus Christ as Lord." Then he goes the whole way back to creation and he says, "It's the same God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who now shines in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This lineup of phrases always makes me smile, and I never think I can fully comprehend. Here's how I kind of think about it. That very same God who created light in the beginning out of darkness by saying, "Let there be light," this same God now shines his glory into us and floods us with light, us, ordinary clay pots like those there, with light. He gives ordinary clay vessels new options. But it's not simply like shining a floodlight into a dark hole. No, it's shining the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I keep repeating that phrase, that whole phrase, but I somehow can't wrap my mind around it. God becoming human. Kind of like the glory of God, which we can't comprehend, but dubbed down and made like us. Or John says, the Word made flesh and dwelling among us and within us. Those are my favorite Christmas texts. Each year I keep trying to grasp this and what it means for us. But then Paul goes further and he says, we're afflicted on every side. In the Message, it says like this, we've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. I've wondered if these verses reflect some of Paul's own anguish regarding the church in Corinth. This whole second Corinthians letter includes Paul's affliction and deep grief concerning his own personal conflict and the difficult relationships he has with the Corinth church and particularly maybe some of the persons within that church. These come through as you read 2 Corinthians. But yet at the same time, in this difficult time, these conflicts are countered by the grace of Jesus Christ that filled Paul's being. This letter also includes some of the greatest theological themes wrestled out of the crucible of pain, like loving forgiveness and reconciliation and more. Doesn't this sound kind of familiar? In our individual and collective lives over the years, we've had plenty of hardships and battering, debilitating illnesses, serious accidents, loss of children and spouses or spouses, family choices gone awry, and you can name others. Our pots are jostled and nicked, chipped, and more because of all of these situations. Perhaps sometimes almost beyond being able to function well. Our life experiences take tolls. We have regrets. Everything did not turn out as we'd wished. Even in this pandemic, we've been hit emotionally, perhaps in ways we can't express well. We crave for everything to just get back to normal, whatever that is, again. On the other hand, sometimes our cracks and breaks, our raw hurts, though they're very painful, in the long run, we can work through them. They may come to serve us well. They may allow us to be more understanding of another person that is struggling, or work gently to redeem a broken relationship. Sometimes our cracks eventually lead to a certain beauty in our own character and our ability to reach out to someone else. Maybe we become a gentler me, a gentler you. There's a little fable from India or China, not sure where, the author is unknown, and maybe some of you have already heard this, of a woman who walked daily to carry water from the river to her house. She had two clay pots hanging on the opposite ends of a stick that she laid and carried across her shoulders and neck. And each day she carried these pots full of water back from the river. But one of those pots was old and cracked. It leaked water as the woman trudged up the hill, and it only arrived to the house half full. The other was full. After a long time of this, the cracked pot finally spoke to the old woman. "I am ashamed of myself, because this crack on my side causes water to leak out all the way back to your house." The old woman smiled. "Did you notice that there are flowers on your side of the path, but not on the other side? That's because I have known about your crack. So I planted flower seeds on your side of the path. And every day while we walk back, you water them. For 2 years, I have been able to pick these beautiful flowers to decorate the table. Without you being just the way you are, there would not be this beauty to grace the house." In our lives, we learn from the difficult times, sometimes more than from the everyday is fine times. But we must choose. The sorrows and the hardships can hone us into being more sensitive, open, caring persons in ways that the fine and dandy experiences can't do. We become more gentle and strong persons that can reach out to others. Handle your rough edges carefully, gently. Listen again to verses 16 to 18 from the Message. Paul writes this: "So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. Things we see now are here today and gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see will last forever. Remember, we're not quitters. We don't run away and hide. That's not the answer. Doesn't matter what comes. God is with us in the person of Jesus Christ, walking with us daily. Let the small potatoes roll on by. Let's grasp hold of living in ways that really matter in today's reality. Gentleness, patience, a gracious word. Grow flowers instead of anger or bitterness or pride. We can choose. We have the light of Christ inside of our ordinary pots of clay. Amen.